and get ready to roll. Let's do this. What's up, baby? That's what's happening, baby. Yo, we got Twilight Zone back, B-A-C-K, Twilight Zone in the house. CBS All Access dropped the first two episodes of this season, the return of Twilight Zone, with the narration by Jordan Peele, you know, a whole bunch of his, like, you know, direction and all that stuff, and his, like, blessing and his, like, kind of like influence over the project. I am so happy it's back. Seriously, to give you guys some backstory on the emotional attachment I have to Twilight Zone. When I was younger, this is, oh man, maybe like first or second grade, my boy Leon and I, I don't know where Leon is these days. I have no idea since I moved, but Leon and I, we would sleep over, all right, on Friday nights, right? And at midnight, they would play an episode of Twilight Zone and then an episode of Outer Limits back to back. And it would be the black and white joints. And we would sit there with a big bowl of popcorn, wrapped up in covers, scared the life out of us, but we still loved it. You know what I'm saying? We still enjoyed it. We still had a ball just watching that stuff and, you know, being entertained and just being transported to these weird, disjointed worlds that were like ours, but maybe not, you know, just slightly off center. And ever since then, I had loved like anthology television and, you know, going on to say like Hitchhiker on HBO. And then also the Tales from the Crypt is another one. And I've just always been a huge fan of those. And then, you know, since those days, there really hadn't been many anthology shows. Now, recently we've had, I believe it's Channel Zero that's on Sci-Fi. I believe Channel Zero. Please check me. Let me know. Because, you know, sometimes I'd be forgetting names or messing up names where they're at. But Channel Zero and then, of course, Black Mirror. So, you know, of course, with I guess you could say the critical acclaim, the great reception of those, now we're getting a return, you know, of course, a return from the, you know, granddaddy of them all, you know what I'm saying? Well, I guess you could call Twilight Zone like the granddaddy, but I'm sure there was something before it, you know, that I just don't know about. But we get the first episode in The Comedian, and the good thing about The Comedian is that you already know where this is going. You already know. And it's almost like you're watching it and asking him to stop. Like, okay, this is enough now. All right, you know, ease up. You know, this is cool. You can stop this now. You can, you know, put it away. You know, you can give it up. And it just gets worse and it gets worse. It gets worse. And then I love also in this episode how they'll film things seemingly normal. And then all of a sudden you'll get a shot in a very like off center, off axis kind of view where you're like, huh, this looks weird. Also, big shout to all the actors in The Comedian. I really love that episode. Just because you're already in on the joke, you know, per se, and you're hoping that he chooses better. And him thinking that he knows better, like he's gonna do better than this, I guess, curse that's on him or whatever. He's gonna outthink that. He's gonna be smarter than that. And just watching how he maneuvers and how it gets worse, slowly but surely. It's one of those haunting feelings of no matter the level of your knowledge, there's something about success that doesn't allow you to stop yourself. And I like these, and there's tons of small meanings inside of all of these episodes. Or I mean both of these, since there's only two out now. But I mean Twilight Zone in general. But, you know, his success, fighting against that success, also with the young lady that played Dee Dee, it shows, like, regardless of your brain, your knowledge, your intelligence, knowing better, you know, wanting and needing and craving that fame, you know, will pull you in deeper to something more nefarious. Because, I mean, are there some people that could, you know, use being disappeared? Yes, of course. But we got to the point where he was just talking about people that he just didn't like. Not like they were a murderer or a killer or they destroyed somebody. He was just talking about people that he just generally didn't like. And he became a monster. And I just really, really dug that. Another thing I really dug was seeing Tracy Morgan play like this interesting, almost devil making a deal character. You know, Tracy Morgan doesn't usually play a character like this where there's no jokes involved. You know, he didn't really say any jokes. He didn't, you know, do kind of like his Tracy Morgan shtick. He was very, very, you know, devil's deal, tricky, sneaky, slimy kind of character. And then, of course, I love the kind of the vibe of sort of like, I guess you could say like any kind of devil's do or demon's deal where after he gets the soul or gets the transfer to Twilight Zone of the young man, he turns his sights onto Dee Dee Scott. So just really dug that episode. A lot to talk about, a lot to like break down and dissect and just look at ourselves as how, you know, when it comes to how we weigh things, you know, personally versus, you know, how far we would go, especially even when we know. And then we got the episode, I think it was 30,000 feet or 30,000, something about something at 30,000 feet, something like that. And then, you know, it had to do with the airplane, and not many of y'all have seen this because I know, you know, everybody ain't got CBS All Access, but this is an episode that I could definitely put myself in the shoes of the sort of protagonist, because everything is always twisted when dealing with the Twilight Zone. But this episode was creepy in a way where you see someone's fear and paranoia driving them mad, and there's nothing that they can do about it. So I dug it. I really dug it. I dug the way he would listen more and more to this podcast. And it was like, where did this podcast come from? How was it, you know, it's just very weird, you know, because then you have to look and be like, you know, well, who put it there for him? How to get there? How would they know that he would end up in that seat? Because that wasn't his original seat. You know, all these things where it's like, it's just perfectly off-center and perfectly weird. And that's one thing that I love about Twilight Zone, because there's a part of sci-fi that should be weird. You know what I'm saying? And I don't think that these days sci-fi, we get enough weirdness in our mainstream sci-fi. I really dug the episode, especially how it ended. You know, the reveal, just everything was slowly breaking down and breaking him down, and just another great example of how the Twilight Zone is like that devil's advocate, devil's deal, leprechaun kind of setup where, you know, it seems like everything's cool, and then just step by step, it's slowly twisting, slowly turning, slowly getting worse. And I dug it. I still dig it. It's Twilight Zone is back, and I can't wait to see what else we get, because of all of the trailers that we got for, like, the, you know, the coming stuff in the season, it just looks like a whole bunch of everyday normal people caught in some weird stuff, which is, you know, of course, that's how Twilight Zone rolls. So I'm very happy. Twilight Zone's back. I can't wait to see what we get. Jordan Peele is killing it as the narrator. And even when they switch to his narration, it's creepy. Just creepy, man. Like, it's creepy in a good way, but God, it's weird. But yeah, I've always loved Twilight Zone. I'm probably super biased because of like just my childhood and how much I enjoyed it and loved it, and how it was kind of like this pastime of mine. But I'm glad it's back. I'm glad it's still weird. I'm glad it's taking everyday, you know, like the everyman or the everywoman, and twisting their lives and sucking them into the Twilight Zone or sucking them into hell or wherever it's going. Because we never, ever really know where the Twilight Zone takes these people. But I'm digging it. So we're going to keep on rolling.
Let's see it.
That Doom Patrol, boy. Doom Patrol, you know what? Before we start talking about Doom Patrol, I want to say to the writers of Doom Patrol that I truly appreciate taking time with the characters to look at each other and say, hey, we need to get our stuff together. Like, we have a bunch of mental, physical, emotional, spiritual trauma that we need to get through, that we need to work through before we can try fighting any external enemy. We need to face and battle our own demons and work that out. I was just like, wow, this is nice. I mean, we see it every now and then, but it's rare. It's rare. So when I do see it, or when we see it on television, film, comics, whatever, I think it's a good idea to kind of like just give it some kudos, give it a high five, if you will, maybe even a thumbs up. I think most recent in a very large way that I can say that I've noticed it is, I think Heroes in Crisis kind of touched on it, as far as like the inner demons and stuff like that. Heroes in Crisis really kind of took a second to kind of look back and look inward at our characters. With that being said, I loved the way the episode went. Now, as in this case, I think I'm talking about episode 7, when Cliff was like, all we need to do is just have a group therapy. You know, we're just having a talk. And, you know, seeing it from everybody's perspective and what everyone went through before they were able to come to the table. Just another interesting way to do a very offbeat, off-balance story that is just unique in so many ways and fun and weird and free. I think what's so cool about Doom Patrol is that it seems to be free of the natural and general and traditional conventions of trying to make a show, especially a serialized show, which is something that I really dig. And I love how they kind of lead in together without being extremely, you know, extremely weighty. You know, it's like they give you the weight without pulling the story down. And I guess what I mean by that is you don't feel depressed after an episode. You're like, oh, that was kind of weird and funky and cool. Like, you know, you have this moment where you're able to get really weighty, really meaty, and really deep into the characters. You know, you're dealing with Cliff. You're dealing with Larry and his stuff. You're dealing with Rita and her stuff, trying to, like, overcome her mental issues with herself and her body dysmorphia and all that. And then at the end, it's like, hold up, so a rat did this? And just the whole thing with Mr. Nobody and the rat and talking about it's a woodland creature, and just it's able to lift that, but in a way that makes sense in the context of the weirder show that it's in. Dig it, love it. I couldn't be happier with a show. Like, I mean, yo, man, it's, wow. The It's a show that is strangely beautiful. Now, on to the episode 8 that we went through. Boy, Danny the Street. You know what? Danny the Street is actually a character that I was like, they're not going to do this. Like, Danny the Street, and not that I would say that they're not going to do it. It's just a character that's not on your mind. You know what I'm saying? It's like, yes, Danny the Street exists in comics, but it's just not on your mind for a show. Like, when you think about Doom Patrol, you think about, oh, they're probably going to fight this type of villain or that type of villain, or, you know, they'll fight Mr. Nobody or something. But Danny the Street just doesn't come to your mind when you're thinking about Doom Patrol whatsoever. But when Danny the Street plays out, it's just such a cool depiction about normalcy and about, you know, breaking free from the chains and everything. Now, with this being said, I'm not going to purport to be, you know, any kind of representative of, like, LGBTQ plus whatever. You know, I'm in no way some kind of, like, spokesman. I don't know enough. You know what I'm saying? I'm not smart enough or educated enough. But to have an episode like this that doesn't seem preachy is something that a lot of television can learn from. Normally, when you see anything on LGBT television, on television about LGBT, it always seems preachy, or like a Saturday, or like a, you know, after school special. Like, they're teaching you about gay people. You know what I'm saying? Or like, this is how it is to be gay. And it ends up being corny. Very similar to when they want to do a show about, you know, something that's really deep. Whenever normal, like, say, network television wants to come across and do a story about something deep, whether it's like rape or anything, you know, alcoholism, it always comes off like very after school special, like very corny. And this was able to handle kind of like representation and handle what's normal or what's seen as the norm in a way that didn't seem preachy or corny. And I really dug that. Also, we get to see the further, the further adventures of our characters in their journey looking inward, at their journey dealing with themselves. You see Jane changing into, I believe, Karen, and all of the other 63 dealing with Karen and how they deal with Karen and how they feel about Karen, and also how Rita and how Cliff have to deal with Karen, and kind of like the problems that Karen, you know, leaves in her path. And on the flip side, you see what Larry has to deal with and what he's always struggled with. And it's, man, dang if this show ain't dope and weird and teaching other shows lessons on how to handle this, even with a character like Danny the Street. I know that sounds weird. You're like, Danny the Street? Oh, is that like a mobster or something? It's like this dude that like chills on the block? No, it's a street that is sentient and can like transport itself wherever it wants to be, but without destroying or tearing down the current or the existing, you know, how should we say, architecture or infrastructure of another city. And it's weird, but it's a dope sci-fi concept, and I love it for that. There's so many reasons why Danny the Street should not work. But somehow, in the context of the show, how they set this up, it works well. And the way Danny the Street relates and relays information, you get to understand the kind of person, I know this sounds weird, but the kind of person Danny is. And Danny cares, but Danny's also in trouble. And apparently, even though Danny can do just about whatever he wants with moving people places, even Danny don't want to mess with Mr. Nobody. You know what I'm saying? Danny is just not about that life, yo. He's like, look, I'm trying to stay on the low, and I'm trying to chill. But on the flip side of that, we have Larry with this awakening, you know, being able to let go, being able to slowly embrace heroism a little bit more and embrace himself a little bit more and who he was and who he loved and who, you know, who he related to and who he wanted to be, and who he could be. And there's something about that singing, that just belting out that musical expression that showed him letting go, which was so, once again, in a show that's as weird as Doom Patrol, so free and so freeing and so great about Larry's character. And wow, I can't imagine seeing this done any better in a way where it's able to handle women or men that are cross-dressing, you know, drag queens and kind of like I guess like the whole culture around like ballroom or whatever in a very, if I might say, mature way on a show like Doom Patrol. It's like, wow. And once again, like I said, you know, I'm not in that community, so I don't know. It might be someone who is LGBTQ and be like, this is whack, this is handled dumb. But from what I've experienced on television and what I've seen from those from those examples in that community, whenever, you know, reported or shown on television as a representation, it's always played in a very corny way. Like, we're going to teach you how it is to be a lesbian. You know, this is what it feels like to be gay. And it always comes off corny and not mature or sincere. Or it comes off extremely preachy where you're like, dude, come on. But this is handled in a way where you're like, whoa, okay. Wow, this is done in a very mature way that doesn't seem preachy, that I can relate to and I can understand, and it doesn't seem like, you know, after school special either. Matter of fact, conversely, speaking of this, another show that handles an LGBTQ character very well is All American. And I know that sounds weird. You're like, the show on CW about the kid that plays football? Yes. The lady that plays Frida Gatz on Empire is one of the football player's friends named Coop. And the thing that I love about her character is they never go out and they're like, hey, this character is gay. This character is, look at how this gay life is with this character. No, she's just gay. And they just let her be gay and they let her like live her life. And we see, they show us instead of trying to tell us. You know, they show us instead of trying to teach us. And I think that's the main difference between the way these two shows have handled Larry's situation, you know, the situation of people on Danny Street, or even on, you know, All American. It's just been dope, man. And once again, these last two episodes, though weird, though strange, is something that I have to give another two thumbs up to, because like I said, there is something about sci-fi that needs to be weird. So much so in our main media or our main or mass media or whatever, we've seen sci-fi be very technical, sci-fi be very futuristic, sci-fi be very apocalyptic even, but very rarely do we get to see sci-fi that's just weird, and weird for the sake of being weird, you know what I'm saying? And that's something that I love. Like, you know, just like the return of Twilight Zone is something that I'm digging. Doom Patrol is a show that I have been watching, will continue to watch. I love this show. And I would have never told, like, before this show came out, because I didn't even like the trailer. When this show came out, I would have been like, man, I'm not watching that joint. And I watched like the first two episodes and I'm like, yeah, I'm in. I'm definitely in. So, with that said, we're going to pull up into this deck. But before we pull into this deck, if you haven't been watching Doom Patrol yet, you need to get on that. I back it up. Going back it up. All right. Ah, boy. Good drive.